Caduceus Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is overcoming discouragement. And I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. The soul persists, knowing itself to be immortal. The personality becomes discouraged, knowing that time is short. Are there certain times in life or certain states of mind when discouragement can set in more easily than others?
I think so. Such a time for many people might be now. Times in life when things aren't terribly certain, when there's a sense of change and flux, and the future isn't very clearly visible, but the old and familiar is falling away. That can be, for some temperaments, a joyful time with lots of expectancy and hope, but it can also be, for some sensitive types, a sense of failure, that something has happened that has gone wrong. There's also the factor of the stress of modern life. I think a lot of people lead lives that are so busy, so active, so full, that they're not really replenishing themselves spiritually as much as they should be. And when you think about it, the word discourage means, I think, literally without heart. Courage comes from the root word for heart, without heart. And we know from the ageless wisdom that the heart is the seat of the life, both literally in a physical sense and esoterically in terms of the etheric or energy body. The heart center, one of seven centers, is the seat of the life, of vitality. So discouragement, one could say, is quite literally a devitalization, physically and spiritually.
And a good part of that vitality or lack of vitality comes, I think, from when discouragement sets in. It comes from an over association with the material world. And there is just too much emphasis on the material things. We're so consumer-oriented, and we're always constantly told to buy things and to get caught up in the material world of buying. And
the next thing, the next material thing will make you happy.
That's right, and we're all seeking happiness in material
SUV.
Things.
That'll do it.
The SUV, the house, the new car, or the children's education.
The remodeled kitchen. That'll
and
do it.
What this, as the ageless wisdom says, what this does is puts a great demand upon the emotional nature. And that charge of the emotional nature really leads to a devitalization of the physical
mechanism. How does that happen?
Well, it's too much of it's an energy thing. It overcharges the physical and it lowers the vitality of the physical body. And this tends to lead to discouragement.
Well, isn't that the essence of the Buddhist message, that desire is the cause of all sorrow?
Absolutely. And this is what I think we're learning in the world at this time, because, you know, we're such a consumer-oriented society, and desire is rampant, and we're subject to the impact of advertising all day long, and to go buy this and that, and it really fires up the desire of nature, and as it says in the books, in the writings of Alice Bailey, this puts a great demand upon the astral or the emotional body, which in turn creates a devitalization at the physical level.
Maybe that's why psychologists who have studied this find that only up to a certain level do material conditions make people happy. People need enough food, they need a roof over their head, they need a certain degree of physical plane security to live happy, content lives. But beyond that rather minimal level, everything extra does not make people happier, they've found. And that ties in with what you're saying. There's another aspect to the material condition that plays into discouragement. A focus on the outer world of forms and of matter, of time and events and things, and everything to do with the outer visible world is, I think, a cause of a lot of the impatience that people feel, the urge to move forward, to gain more for themselves, to move up the ladder of material existence, to get a raise, to progress in their career, to expand their education, to move into a larger house. Some of those goals are worthy goals, a better education, a better career, but they still have to do with the world of form and matter. And that compulsion to move forward on the outer level of life ties one into the sense of time and gives a sense of rush and impatience. But the inner level is timeless. And so I think discouragement is less likely to occur on that level. The writings of Alice Bailey comment on the fact that the soul, as our opening quote said, the soul persists. It knows itself to be immortal. It's in no rush, no hurry, and there's no deadline. But the personality, the outer person, becomes discouraged, knowing that time is short.
And I think you mentioned just a moment ago about the rush to get a better job and get ahead and better education, and all of these are further demands on our emotional nature. And if mm-hmm. if we lose our job, or then we don't have the money for that education, we don't have the money for the material things, and it very quickly leads to discouragement, because it's the desire has been cut off. It's been thwarted, as it might say. And you can't live up to what we think we need to maintain this level of happiness.
There's also the factor of perspective that I think can overcome discouragement. Things have to be kept in proportion, and there are a few of those wonderful old bromides that apply. One of them is All Things Must Pass, the wonderful song by George Harrison, All Things Must Pass. Things come and go, and we have to accept that. That's part of life, and it's part of the beauty of life. There's an ebb and a flow, and life endures, but we mustn't be attached to any particular cycle. And related to that, I think, is the need to realize there are greater cycles and lesser cycles. And you have to be able to say when you're in a bad patch, this is only for a while. This is only a short cycle. And there's the longer cycle of my life and the still greater cycle of my soul's enduring essence, which persists over many lifetimes. And it gives a kind of a perspective of patience and of, I suppose you could say, impersonality toward oneself. We're terribly attached to ourselves, and we're very personal in our focus on ourselves as well as on others. We have to be a little bit disengaged even from our own dilemma.
I think if there was more awareness of these kind of first causes for such a thing as discouragement. In other words, that the root causes of this problem lies deeper than just in the personality level. And that's really what we're trying to impress upon you people out there today, is that there is a much deeper cause, and the healing process to overcome discouragement lies at this level of getting back to the cause and realizing what is really causing this dilemma to happen. And I think that if psychology could really begin to approach the problem from that level, from that degree, then we might be, it would be kind of a revolution. You know, maybe that we wouldn't require so much the dispensing of medication simply to deal with symptoms.
There's also the suggestion given in the books of Alice Bailey to just rely on the old standard remedies of sunshine. The sun is literally the vitalizer of the earth, and the vitality of sunshine can help to quicken and energize the physical body, but also the spiritual and emotional bodies. And the need to have enough rest and relaxation. Sometimes discouragement sets in just because people have been working too hard, being stretched in too many directions.
For those people who just tuned in, our theme for today is overcoming discouragement. And by the way, if you're interested in that topic and you want to explore it further, we have a book, one of the Alice Bailey books, one of the 24 volumes of literature that she wrote. The title of it is A Treatise on White Magic, and you'll find a section within that book on discouragement, so you can certainly take a look at in a closer way at that topic by looking through that book, A Treatise on White Magic, which you can order from us by calling on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. We also have a general package of information. So often people want to know what Lucis Trust is all about, and, for lack of a better expression, I guess we're a spiritual philosophy organization. And there are people from all walks of life and multiple numbers of religious backgrounds who come to our meetings. And I guess the commonality amongst all the people who attend meetings and interact with us is that they're all interested in the betterment of mankind. So their various religious backgrounds really don't conflict or come into play. But if you'd like to order a general package of information, I think you'll find it quite comprehensive and interesting. Give us a call on our toll-free number. We'll send that out to you, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866 New York Lucis. And we need your help, as you can imagine. Being on a wonderful station like WOR can be quite costly, and we certainly welcome your help. Some people have sent very small donations, and you'd be surprised how those small donations add up. I think just for the fun of it, one time I estimated about how many people are out there in the listening audience and how much each person would have to contribute in order to keep us on the air for a year, and it came out to $1.75 per person. So for Dale's sake and Sarah's, maybe I can increase it to $2. Round it off, and it would make up for some of the laggards who aren't pulling their own weight also, if you could just throw in $2 and make up for those other people who don't do that. And
they know who they are.
Yeah, they know who they are. They really do. So if you'd like to contribute, we certainly welcome your contribution. Not that we won't take large contributions. We'll take that too. But send your donations to Lucis Trust, LUCISTRUST, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005.
Can I say a word about the book
mentioned? Yeah, yeah. White Magic might shake people up, so maybe we better talk about that more.
Yes, the title is an unusual one. White magic is a term from the Ageless Wisdom which refers to the energy and quality of the soul. Mm-hmm. The soul has an energy field and a power that is called magic in its truest sense. I'm not referring to the kind of magic you see in Las Vegas or whatever on Halloween, not that at all. But it's a creative and surprising and innovative power that comes through the soul. In that sense, yes, it is a kind of a magic. It's unexpected, and it can redeem the most awful situations and revive the most hopeless conditions. If we think of magic in that sense, I think it makes sense to people. And of course, it's white magic. It's pure in intent. The soul is always utterly pure and inclusive in its power. It never works against anyone or anything. It works for the good of the whole. So the Treatise on White Magic is one of the major works by Alice Bailey, which really is a thorough treatment of the soul, and it's available from us.
Provides the soul provides that power of transformation, the power to transform.
That's another example of magic.
Yeah. That's the magical process is the transformation process to make new what was old.
And it was interesting. Both of you, I think, are saying something very similar. You're saying that very often mankind's obsession and yearning for material objects, money or whatever material object it might be that people are addicted to, it also stands in the way of seeking higher levels of the self, wouldn't you say?
Yes. The people who are who have the least are often forced by circumstances to turn to their soul, to the inner meaning and significance of life. In a way, they are the richer for it, because too much comfort and satiation on the outer level of life, I think, numbs the aspiration to strive beyond one's physical circumstances. It can be deadly to the soul, in fact.
Yeah, that's why striving or chasing after material things, objects, is a big deflection. It deflects the path or deflects the intelligence, the intellectual ability or the mind principle from seeking that which is higher within yourself.
That's why I think the present circumstances are really quite creative and promising, because more and more I think people sense the future is questionable. We're in a situation in the world where the dangers of our lack of right relationship are more and more apparent through terrorism, through misunderstanding, through inability to reach agreement among nations. This is a very promising time if you consider that it's throwing all the old assumptions up in the air. People may be discouraged looking at present conditions, but it's in just such times as this that real change can sometimes be introduced. And we're reminded of the value of people who can keep their vision on the long-term goal and on the future and see that distant point toward which we are moving. People with a bit of a sense of history can see that slowly we are advancing, and they are less likely to lose heart. They are less likely to be discouraged. If you believe that ultimately humanity is going to come through its present circumstances and come into a better relationship with the planet and with God, then speak to that when your friends and co-workers express their dismay and discouragement.
Yes, it says in the writings of Alice Bailey, in fact, it's in this treatise on white magic that we're asking you to consider purchasing. The cure for discouragement, it says, lies in the wise use of the mental body and in a capacity to reason logically and to see the cause of the conditions which lie either in your own personality or in your environment. So it challenges one to look for causes for your discouraged your discouragement, to look for causes within you and not tend to blame other people that lie outside of you.
Well, every time you do that, you're taking the power and giving it to something or someone outside of yourself. And we have the power of the soul within us to redeem our circumstances. We always do. I mean, there's another old bromide that God never gives anyone too great a burden to bear. And I do believe that's true. Whatever burdens we've got, they are probably not more than we can handle. We can deal with them. And we don't help ourselves when we blame others because we're putting the power all on their shoulders. We can change our circumstances. I think there's great value in keeping perspective. Some people go through periods of great trouble and difficulty, but there's always somebody that's worse off. And at least it helps me to think about the lives of people who have triumphed over really difficult circumstances and those strong souls that remain steadfast. One person that really inspires me is Winston Churchill, who went through the war with incredible pressures and burdens, and he never lost heart, and he never let his people lose heart. In fact, somebody the other day quoted something by Churchill that I had never heard before. He said, "When you're going through hell, keep going." Isn't that wonderful? Just keep going. And you can just picture the man with that steadfast bulldog look on his face. Just keep going.
Well, that's the enduring power of the soul, the power to endure, because it knows time will work this out.
Yeah.
And the personality doesn't see that. It sees what lies in front of it as the end of everything, you know, and no wonder it gives up.
Churchill believed in humanity, I think. He believed absolutely in the strength of the English people and in the strength of the good people of the world. And he evoked that strength and that endurance in them by his use of language. He was brilliant in his ability to communicate strength and conviction to people. And that's a tremendous service. There are other people like that. FDR, who was paralyzed. And we think of Helen Keller, who was blind and deaf. And if you've seen pictures of both of them, they radiated joie de vivre, the joy of life. In spite of their circumstances, they loved life. They were not discouraged. And those circumstances, to me, would be enough to make anybody want to go to bed and pull the covers over his head and stay there. But they didn't. They lived their lives and they loved their life, in spite of circumstances.
I think the world is, humanity in general is kind of going through a very heightened period of stimulation today and that's why we're feeling so much anxiety and discouragement, perhaps, because the emotional body is really getting overcharged.
And once again, if you'd like that general package of information that tells you a lot about what Lucis Trust is all about, and there's some good literature in there in addition to information, and you might want to order that. So if you'd like to order the general package of information, please do so. We'll send it out to you free of charge, of course. Call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS, LUCIS. Our website, www.lucistrust.org. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.